world is waiting. The world is
We see a goddamn campfire, which makes sense since it's so fucking cold. The long body of the dead manapee makes a perfect windbreak as it curves around the crowd. Another wonder of the world decimated by these violent fucking people. The firelight bounces off the shell of the creature and fractures against familiar faces, and some not so familiar, as our heroes are joined by a handful of Wastelanders, all looking at Rowan with hope-filled eyes. And we see all of you.
You see Ty, but I imagine that most of the mask has burned away amidst the cracking the world open, the emanating flames, to the point where there's just like a little bit left that's covering, but I mean, when it comes to Ty, he tries to maintain the facade. It's nice to meet you all.
It is nice to meet you too, Ty.
Real nice to meet you, Ty.
Wade did not tell us you were twins.
Yeah, identical twins.
Out of him to keep that to himself.
Yeah, he's a little shy about things like that.
That's okay.
Well, you know, Ty, if you ever wanted to join our little circle for breakfast, you know, you're always welcome, Ty.
We'll see. I've got a pretty full schedule.
Jamie just cackling like a madman in the background.
If we're all gathered around the campfire, I would like to, because I know we've all suffered considerable, or not me so much, but the rest of everybody here has suffered considerable harm. I'm going to try to heal everyone here, if I can. This ritual does look different. If you could see Rowan's eyes, they're closed, but you can't. And their heartbeat, through focus, almost like dominoes, it's kind of hard to find the collective pulse, so it takes some time. But eventually, they have everyone's heartbeat beating in time with every other person in the circle, because it's the water in me talking to the water in you. Get wet, I guess.
That is a 12.
I will go with anyone injured is healed, but I will also choose anyone lost is reassured.
All of your hearts find one another in a moment of healing and celebration. The strangers beside you begin to weep in gratitude while they start to draw tattoos on one another, resembling water beneath their skin. You all feel your bodies and souls having their strength returned. The drum has lost another inch of water, but it isn't draining too quickly.
Where is Wei, though? I would love to know, actually. I'm surprised they haven't caught up with us yet.
I think he said he was going to run ahead to the bus because he couldn't help out in the fight.
Oh.
He was looking a little hurt.
Rowan is sad at that. That just the idea that Wei, that quote-unquote Wei, thought they couldn't contribute here. That makes them a little sad.
If Ty sees this, Ty is gonna try to reassure and say, "It's okay. He ran to get me as quickly as he could so that I could assist."
Ty, I do not know if this is too forward to say, but your voice is very cool.
Oh, well, you're very kind. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Rowan, I think I'm gonna tell her.
You're finally gonna tell her?
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I forgot you didn't say that out loud.
Tell who what?
Yeah, tell who what, Jamie?
Yes, tell who what.
You know, we did the ritual, and I don't know, it really cleared up a lot of things for me. You know, the manipede made me really think of a lot of things. And, you know, we only got one shot, right? Might as well take it.
Yes, only one. Don't miss it.
Okay, well, now that we got that out of the way, anybody else have any developments? So, Jamie, how's the brain?
I'm really touched that you tried. Thanks.
What cool. About the brain? What do you mean?
I would love... Do you think it's safe to assume this whole trauma bonding experience would be an intimacy with everyone?
I mean, I'd say it would be safe to assume that.
I believe at this point it's mathematically impossible for me not to get a 10 plus with all of you. So I would love to just ask all of you the same question. I want to know what all of your lowest moments were. Being a brainer... I almost can't help but just catch the psychic bleed of people around me, and especially when they go through more emotional and traumatic things. I'm sorry to be invasive, I really didn't mean to, but I just start to pick up on the things that people carry around with them. And now that we're kind of starting to settle in and relax, and I'm able to process what I've picked up from you all, it's not a mean thing. If anything, this is a way that I understand why you are who you are. And it's for that reason that I specifically tune into what you consider to be your lowest moment.
Jamie, just to give them all a moment to think. When it comes to Rowan, do you find that overly transparent people are easier or more difficult to read?
I think the trick is in knowing the difference. It all reads the same in the end, but how much untangling is involved after the fact, I think, is the difference. It's really hard to tell, I think, the most when someone's lying to themselves, because that can look a lot like truth at first.
I would say this is a moment that Jamie is fully aware of, because Ty has asked Jamie to help him with this facade for so long. And one of the elements of being Ty is being this rock star who lives the rock star life, the life that people envy, the life that a lot of people might wish they could live, especially when it comes to intercourse. And Ty, when he first started performing, realizing that afterwards they could set up the lights, he could set up his leather jacket, but every time his clothes would be drenched in blood. And so when he would go back to the dressing room, he would have Jamie help him with keeping up the facade. Essentially, anyone walking by would hear the sounds of moaning and groaning and ecstasy. While Ty was just cleaning up, he was just worn out and exhausted and wanted some rest. And I'd like to think that in one of these moments, there was one person who had come up. This was someone that Wei had actually liked. When that person came up, same facade, but Ty inside the room just heard like a yell and then crying that he recognized as being that person. The person that Wei cared about. And then running out. I imagine that, like, this was one of those situations where he sees the person walking off into the distance, like storming away. And Ty would go to Jamie and, I hurt someone tonight, didn't I?
Yeah. You did.
I guess there's no going back now. And that would be Wei and Ty's lowest moment of knowing that in order to be able to express himself with this facade, he has to shed a lot of the things that he truly wants.
To get this information, it's like Jamie obviously knows the way because they know what they're doing, but it's like a labyrinth that is not organic, that is not of Rowan, but done to Rowan. It's funny, and in some ways, there's some similarities with Wei and Ty, except the sacrifice came after. There was something they maybe could have had, and they took the other path. And I think it involves Kay as well, because Kay doesn't remember this. But there was a time when Rowan felt very strongly for someone in town, and it was very, very one-sided. And they had never said a thing to them. And Kay was actually the one, even though it's a conversation she doesn't really recall because it didn't matter that much to her, and that's okay. She was the one that told Rowan she could do it. Go talk to her. It's just, it's easy. Go, be a little bit hypocritical now that we know everything about Kay, but...
Go talk to her. You can do it. You know, don't miss your chance. She's right there. Go do it. And I'm just picturing Rowan, like, across, you know, a town square of sorts. Finally seeing Florence unattended by friends or mentors or anyone. And standing a distance away to the point where all Rowan can see is the two of them across this expanse, and everything else is blank. And there's so much potential. And there's so much that could be said, that she's finally been encouraged to say, and this is the most confident she will ever feel in her life, right here, right now, because she had someone there to support them. And no one has ever believed in them in this way, that they could go talk to this person, that they could finally rip off that band-aid and make something happen in their life for a goddamn second. They still walk away. They have all the tools they need. They have everything to propel them forward, and they don't pick up any of those tools, any of those kind words, and they leave it all where they stood, and they walk away instead. And it remains potential and not reality.
Kay's had a lot of low points. I mean, she couch surfs. Her workshop is in a dumpster, like, oh, quite literally a dumpster. Her best friend is a chicken. Kay is no stranger to low points. However, her lowest point as a person is when she made the decision not to get on the bus, to hang out in the doorway. That's not protecting yourself. That's fear to the point of malice. Jamie hadn't done anything at that point. Jamie was just there. I mean, they had barely spoken. It's not like Kay had anything against Jamie. She made the choice to be a little bit of a butthole. And that's not fair. That's the lowest somebody can get. To actively make the choice to be a worse person than they could be. To exclude someone. And that's why she doesn't really have friends until now. Now, no matter how much she dislikes how close everybody's gotten, they are still close. And... maybe it is trauma bonding. Maybe they really have a connection. But I think going through this absurd journey with three other little misfits has changed her for the better.
A little smile comes over Jamie's face as they process everything they're taking in. And to bring some cosmic justice, even though it'll seem completely out of nowhere to everybody else, I just kind of wait for the conversation to naturally come to a quietness. I chose to be a butthole once. My lowest moment was the night before my parents left me on the side of the road. I'd watched them struggle with it for weeks. I knew it was coming. I don't know if it was more for me or for them, but I told them that I hated them. And of course I didn't, but that was when they made the decision, and it was time. I'm just gonna start eating something in front of me like it was the most casual thing in the world.
Ho, ho, hold on. This year, I know exactly what I'm getting my sleigh dear. Holiday gift cards from Hero Forge, with a wide range of options from tabletop miniatures, physical and digital, to 3D printed dice you design, and also custom keychains. Upgrade your gaming experience with the Pro subscription, which grants you access to new item drops a week early, and unleash your inner bard by designing wild creations, giving them the perfect mood lighting and backdrops with the photo booth tool. All that and more, starting at only $3.99 a month. Avoid those long lines and have your Hero Forge gift cards delivered straight to your email at heroforge.com.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost as a parable about what is precious in a world where everyone is expendable. The grilled manipede is warm and delicious, though the face does taste a little different than the rest of it.
Do you guys notice the face tastes weird?
Dare I ask what the face tastes like?
You see the 12 strangers to the side as they start to pour buckets of water over one another, and their philosophies begin to form. Aren't we all water bears when it really is broken down to our pure story? And their voices rise as they basically form the new religion in the light of Rowan.
Rowan, you got a lot of work cut out for you.
What do you mean?
I mean, you gotta lead the people. They're here for you.
I'm here for you.
And I'm here for you.
Well, I told you not to make friends and then you saved us all, so I eat my words.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I ever made you feel like a burden. I mean, you kinda saved everybody, did you not?
Who can say?
We see the sun bright midday as the party bus makes its way through the barren land. Music is blaring from it as it dodges rock and rubble. You are headed back home. There are two new faces with you, skin dyed a light shade of blue or pink. The other 10 have headed into the world so they could spread the law of who can say. In the distance, trying to catch up, we see three velociraptors on rollerblades made from bones, each holding a wooden bat that is filled with nails, but they just can't pump it that hard. They just can't pump it the fuck up, and you're moving so quickly, having learned that friendship can remove a mask, or how it can make you resemble hospitality within your very spirit, or to learn all these things about those you love by accident. But who is driving as these roller raptors are trying to come and party while all of you are just trying to get home?
Mr. T is driving.
We look metal. Mr. T is driving the bus.
Jamie's clinging to the top of the bus and just screaming.
There is indeed a cock driving this party bus hard through this moist finale.
Fuck yeah.
You know how, like, school buses have the emergency hatch, that's the window in the back? I'm hanging out of it, like, chucking Molotovs.
I'm at the front, and every time Mr. T gestures for the horn to be honked, I honk it.
the roller raptors have gained on you. You see their heads bop into shitty tunes as they approach your party bus.
I'd like to imagine that maybe after being able to share a fire, after being able to spend time with everyone, that Wei had slept in. He didn't do his usual thing of showering and changing. And he is going to emerge from the back room in Thai gear and just be like, "Oh, we're on the road already?" After having woken up by the music.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Hey, grab a Molotov.
Okay. Thai is still sleeping back there.
Yes. Grab a Molotov and let Ty get some sleep.
Okay. Wei is gonna try to throw alongside Kay.
The music rises as your bus tears forward, leaving the roller raptors in your dust as they just give up, hanging their heads in the forever shame of the douchey surrender. You all arrive home, stepping out of your bus in West Star, presenting the coral, which unfortunately looks rather dry and almost a little brittle.
My canteen! Put a little water on it.
Like a city at the end of history, learning how to work its own heart. A breath of life enters and is returned by this coral grown from the blood of a god dripped into the aquarium so long ago. And the color changes, suddenly vibrant once again. We see the Pangaea Library from the outside, if only for the last time. And there, on the ground, cast aside like forgiveness once God was done pretending, we see a thin metallic square covered in dust. And we see a hand covered in dark cloth reach to the earth and take it, before walking further into this familiar place. And we all hear a familiar electronic sound as he steps beside a familiar pillar.
I've lost track of how long it's been, and I cannot find you. I've gathered every instrument like a bouquet, like a home we could build from sound and from song, but you are still missing, just as my family is missing, and I'm afraid my story is over. If you find this, Caspian, I'm sorry I couldn't make it on my own. The world may be waiting to begin again, but my world was only ever waiting for you. I just hope you don't find me. Not like this. Not with what I've become. By the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all. Because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand.
I Are you listening, sibling? Are you ever watching? It's almost over again. They will come. They always come. They'll start the work again. But they will not find me. They will not know me, sibling. And after they leave, after he leaves, I will find you. I will keep my promises, sister. And yours.
Some time has passed, but not much, and we see a massive canopy built beside a polished party bus. With skulls and trash cans tied to the back bumper, the words "just married" painted across the rear in blood. The people of Westar fill the rows of chairs beneath the strings of flickering lights underneath the shadow of an approaching dusk. Soft music is being played by a familiar face, and up at the altar we see Rowan, standing, waiting, Jamie in the back scanning every guest as they arrive, just to be safe.
Okay, has fluffed up the hair to the max. Like, we're talking 80s volume hairband levels of gel. The wedding dress is as white as you can get it in the apocalypse, I suppose. But with little adornments on the train that you could mistake for stained glass. There is a bouquet, if you can call it that, of Molotovs, of course. And she is very anxiously pacing at the altar. She's already there.
Tai Wei considers doing his usual act, cracking open the world. But then, as he reaches for the mask, he decides against it. He decides to just pick up the mic as Wei. He doesn't need to crack open the world. He doesn't need to make this big show of things, because Kay has already done that.
But after I've made sure only those that are supposed to be here are here, I think I do Kay the best kindness that I can and step behind a pillar near the altar so that I'm out of sight, but she can see me, and just give her a big goofy grin while I watch the rest of the ceremony.
And we see Kay smile down from the altar as a figure begins to approach down the aisle. The townspeople raise their bells, as is custom, and they all begin to ring.
For the longest time, Kay was in denial. She said, "I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend." But she did. She did have a girlfriend. And that's why we're all gathered here today.
Hey, all you Buckaroo Barbies, thanks for tuning in for The World Is Waiting, our Apocalypse World mini-series brought to you by The Heart is a Dungeon. Let's meet our Rapture best friends one last time before we say goodbye. Kay, do you have a name?
Hi, I'm Agnes. My name is Zoe. You can find me at Zotato Potato on all of the interwebs. I do things. I'm a voice actor. Go play Craft. It's by Placeholder. Placeholder Gameworks. It's the same people who did Death and Taxes. It's real cool. You make crowns out of trash. Go play the game. It's great.
So, you're so cool.
Rowan, do you have a name, possibly?
Yes, I do. Don't talk to me like that. I know you're making fun of me. I am Kelly. I go by the Kill Hop on the internet. You can find me here on The Heart is a Dungeon. You can find me in the audio drama Error 313. And by the time this comes out, you can also find me in the horror audio drama 1.7 Miles to Lake Wanatel. So you should definitely check that out.
Ty, good to be back in the studio with you. Do you have a name?
Yeah. This is Ty, played by Wei, who's played by Matt. And you can find me, and me, as Improv and RPG everywhere. Thank you very much.
Jamie, do you have a name, and may we all have the pleasure of knowing it?
No, but you can call me Feral Moonbeam. You can find me at Feral Moonbeam or Feral.Moonbeam on the socials, which I may or may not check depending on the day. Mostly living at the Heart is a Dungeon. But golly, it was nice to laugh with you guys. I feel like all I do is cry on this channel. So, thank you.
Hold on.
And I love
hold
you.
Hold on. Feral, hold on, is an exceptional artist. Oh my goodness gracious. Go look at their work. Yeah. Oh yeah, I draw.
Okay, everyone, that's it for our series work for 2025. Next year, we'll begin with the Ballad of Heartwork, a strange parable involving 14 different players joining in groups of two. We will have so many new faces to our table, and you might also recognize a guest or two as well. Thank you so much for coming along with us this year for some beautiful stories with amazing friends. And I'm Ra-Ra. But that's enough about that.